Praise the Lord. I'm glad God never changes. Thank you, Brother and Sister Quails. And you know, Brother and Sister Quails don't change either. I think they were here, you said 89. Was that when you were here the first time? Back in the previous century. And we worked with them probably in the early 90s there at Twin Oaks. And they haven't changed a bit. And people like them, they have a fountain of youth. It's a secret they won't tell us, the rest of us, about. I wish they would. But we love and appreciate the Quails and their spirit and their ministry. It's a blessing to our hearts, and we praise the Lord for all the people that's come in. I believe we're going to have camp meeting this week, Brother Goodwin. Folks are walking in the light, some of them. We asked them last night, but some of them weren't here, so they haven't got the light yet. But last night, those that were here, we said we want to barricade those last seven rows. And some of the young people got some help, and some of the adults. I saw them this morning in the morning service counting seats and figuring out where they could sit. And then our brother mentioned moving in the middle, because earlier they was all over here and they were all over here. And Brother Goodwin, I felt like Moses in the Red Sea right here, right in the middle. It was parted hither and thither, right and left. And but some of the young people's gotten help even in this service. They're right smack dab in the middle. Praise the Lord. Amen. Good to have some folks come in, to have Brother Elsie come in. I'd never had got to meet him till today. One of the former pastors where we're at now. And a privilege to meet Brother Elsie. And good to see Kenny and June Edie here. I didn't know they'd be here, and we went over there and saw that they were here, and it thrilled me to see them. And we're just glad for each one that's here. And I believe God wants to help us. He's still God. He never changes. Praise His holy name. Came from Fordland, James River Freeway, 44, and I forget that other road before you get to 400. What is that? 96, got on 96. And I did not see the Kansas sign. Is there a sign up when you get to Kansas? There's no sign. Well, where we come from, they put signs up. It says, "Welcome to Kentucky." And I always honk my horn when I see that, you know. And then my children were all born in Indiana, so sometimes I'll honk my horn for my children when we go to Indiana. But I missed the sign. But we did get a warm reception here in Kansas. And everyone has been very, very kind. But I've never been here till yesterday, and wasn't familiar with your towns and cities and some of these names and places and people. And I couldn't even pronounce some of the names of the cities I came through. And I don't know if they were named after the Indians or what, but I couldn't even pronounce it. And then it said home of so-and-so. Somebody I never heard of, you know, but I'm sure you all are very familiar. I know Daniel Boone, where I come from. It was he was a pretty popular his man of history. Amen. We have places there in Kentucky like Paint Lick and Happy Landing and Page Hill and Poozy Ridge. Places like that are pretty easy for me to pronounce, and we thank the Lord for that. And my parents and grandparents lived on Page Hill. That's near Poozy Ridge when I was born, and have some great memories of that time. I remember my grandfather testifying about getting sanctified. He got sanctified at Happy Landing. That was the church where his dad pastored. My great-grandfather was a tobacco farmer and a pastor. And Papaw got sanctified at that church, and several other young men there at Happy Landing, and they got blessed. I guess people in Kansas know what you're talking about when you talk about getting blessed. They got the blessing, like the young man Brother Goodwin was telling us about. It actually happened at Oshelada Youth Camp. I know we got some Oshelada Youth Camp folks here. And old Lane Williams got the blessing, got the call at the youth camp and testified to it publicly at our Sunday morning service. And I appreciate Brother Goodwin sharing that. And it thrilled our souls at Fordland. Praise the Lord. But Papaw got the blessing back there many years ago. Several other young men, and they got blessed and they took off. running down the aisle of the church outside the doors, and Highway 52 ran out there, and Papaw and those young men were running up and down Highway 52 shouting and praising God because they'd gotten sanctified. And they were blessed and they were thrilled. And people coming from Richmond, Kentucky, going through Happy Landing down to Paint Lick, they got down there at Paint Lick, and they said, "Man, what in the world's going on at Happy Landing? Young men are up there, out there running up and down Highway 52 shouting, carrying on." Amen. Well, they got the blessing. Praise the Lord. And one of Papaw's favorite songs was, "I Never Shall Forget How the Fire Fell." And I know we're not all the same, and we shouldn't seek someone else's experience, and we're all different. And God blesses us all different. There are different manifestations of the Spirit. Sometimes He comes in a whirlwind, and sometimes the Lord comes in a still, small voice. Amen. But Papaw, he was loud, and he was really loud when he'd sing that. "I never shall forget how the fire fell." And I remember hearing Papaw sing that, and I was 4 or 5 years old, and I thought, when you sing that song, you're really supposed to pull out the stops and really sing it loud. And I was trying to be like Papaw, and we were singing that, and I was singing loud as I could. People started looking at me, so I quietened down. But they told my grandfather, they said, "Brother King, you don't have to shout so loud. God's not deaf." And he said, "No, but He's not nervous either." And he kept on shouting and praising the Lord. Amen. And folks, that's what I want to say to you tonight, this afternoon. And I know people don't get blessed on Wednesday afternoons, but I want to live in the pathway of blessing. I don't necessarily want to act like Papaw, but if that's what God wants, I'd be thrilled. I wish we had shouting every service and run the aisles every service. Now there are two extremes. I don't want anything to do with dead, last year's bird's nest type religion. No one wants a mule-faced religion. Amen. I want something with some life. And God wants to give us life. Our Lord said, "I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." Praise the Lord. But there's some substitutes out there. And there's wildfire out there. And I'm not interested in that. And I'm glad we don't have to settle for either one. We can have the real. Praise God, we can have the Spirit of God, and you and I can live in the pathway of blessing. Noah did. Genesis chapter 6, we're turning to, and we're going to read about a man that lived in a wicked day. You know, we're living in a wicked day, an evil day, a dark day, but we're not the first people that's lived in that type of day. Noah lived in that type of day, and so did Paul, as he was writing much of the New Testament. You know, we think, well, this is such a dark day, and it is. But listen, when Paul was writing the New Testament, living, traveling, they did not have saved and sanctified leaders in Rome. There were some wicked folks out there, but Paul still got blessed. And Noah still got blessed. And in 2015, when it seems like the inmates are running the asylum and it's dark and wicked, you and I can still get blessed. Genesis chapter 6, I'm asking you to stand with me for the reading of the word and for prayer. Appreciate the prayers of God's people. I appreciate your prayers. We struggled last night. Thank God for His help today. Amen. "It came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Father, we thank you for Noah. Lord, you said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And he lived in a wicked hour, and Lord, we're living in that hour. But you gave him grace, and here was a man in that evil day who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Oh God, would you help everybody in this auditorium today to live like Noah lived, that we may find grace in the eyes of the Lord. Help us in this evil day to live lives of victory, and Lord, we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. I guess this message was born, I'm not sure when, but I think the day I went into Speedway gas station at there in Somerset, Kentucky, I was in there getting a fountain drink, and this black lady walked in, and she was rather large, and she walked in like she owned the place. I mean, she came in there strutting, shoulders back, you know. And she had this shirt on that said, "Too blessed to be stressed." I'll tell you what, if I wasn't smiling before, I started smiling then. And I thought, well, I like this lady. I like her style. I like her attitude. Too blessed to be stressed. I believe that was Noah. He might have had one of those shirts. Too blessed to be stressed. Praise the Lord. Do you know what we're talking about today when we talk about getting blessed? Now, I'm not talking about financially. I'm not talking about physically. I'm not talking about a gospel of health, wealth, and prosperity. Every day is not a Friday. There's still Mondays, amen, in the calendar. Thank God. But you and I can live, and the Bible tells us the just shall live by faith. We live by faith. We don't live by feelings. Feelings do not control our life. We have feelings, and God is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. We have emotions, but emotions do not control our life, because we don't always feel like reading the Bible. We don't always feel like going to afternoon service. We don't always feel like praying. But the just shall live by faith. We live by faith, so we do what's right no matter how we feel. But every now and then, God's people get blessed. Talking about in our soul, a blessing in our spirit. When the Spirit of God bears witness with our heart that we are children of God, and this manifests some type of a feeling sometimes. Like the little boy flying the kite and got it so high up there you couldn't see, and the old man came by and saw him holding the spool and saw a little bit of string there, but the string was pretty much invisible. "Son, what are you doing?" "I'm flying a kite." He looked up there. "I don't see a kite." "How do you know you're flying a kite?" Every now and then, he said, "I can feel the tug. And I don't feel God every day." But folks, every now and then, we ought to feel the tug. Amen. And if I don't feel the tug as often as I'd like, I start doing some soul searching. And first of all, if you want to be blessed spiritually, you need to be saved. That's pretty elementary, isn't it? You need to be saved. Praise the Lord. I pastored down there in Somerset, Kentucky, and there in that county, Pulaski County, there was 200 churches in that county. And 100 to 120 of them were Baptist. And you know what they believe, and you know what they teach. And I'd be going to nursing home service on Sunday afternoon. I'd see their vans all out going all over the place, and on the back of their vans and say, "Jesus saves." And I wanted to stop the van and ask them, "From what?" Amen. The angel said, "His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Thank God for this purpose. The Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. If you're living in sin, it's going to be hard to get blessed spiritually. Praise the Lord. But oh, thank God we can get to the place where we ask the Lord to forgive us. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen. And the Bible says that His Spirit will bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And I appreciate these young people. Isn't that a great report that we heard? 33 teenagers, 30 children in here at the camp. Hallelujah. And young people, I've got good news. You don't have to wait till you're 60 and gray-headed to get blessed. Amen. You can get blessed in this camp. I'd love that. I'll tell you one of the biggest blessings I ever experienced as far as a splashover from somebody else. We was at our preacher convention a number of years ago, and one of the pastor's sons, he was just, I don't know if my wife remembers or not, 8 or 9 years old, but he was saved, and he was blessed. That little boy took off running the aisles and shouting. I'll tell you what, I got a splashover blessing off of that. I remember the first time I got saved when I was 12 years old, and I don't know how old I was. The first time I can remember spiritually getting blessed. I don't know, I testified 2 or 3 times that service, started jumping up and down and praising the Lord, and I felt good in my soul. We don't all act the same. Everybody don't shout. Matter of fact, I'm not finding many shouters left anymore. I think they're almost extinct. Our brother said we're in the quietest world we'll ever live in. Amen. And I believe that. I believe my papa's up there shouting on the hills of glory. Thank God. Amen. You read the book of Revelation, I don't believe heaven's a quiet place. Thank God. And hell, God forbid anybody in this auditorium should go to hell, but the Bible says it's a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, and I pray to God that no one here goes there. Amen. But I'm glad I was raised the way I was and around the people I was around, and they were all different, and God never made any two of us alike. We're all different. We're all unique. But if you have life, there ought to be some sign of life. Somebody said, well, I'm not emotional, and maybe you're not in church, but usually somebody gets emotional about something. And I know somebody mentioned the deer hunting, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's wonderful and great, and thank God for deer hunters and their excitement. I talked to a pastor in Pennsylvania. He said, we don't have revivals during deer season. He said, we don't even schedule them. We don't even try scheduling. We work around that. Oh, okay. They got excited, and he talked about preaching to hunters, going somewhere and preaching in his camouflage and all that to the hunters and all. And he's excited. He showed me pictures and all, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's great. Get excited. I'll tell you what, if I caught a 5-pound bass, I'd tell you about it, and I'd get excited about it. My wife there, we were walking out in the parking lot today after the morning service or sometime, and somebody's going to the Goodwill or thrift store. My wife heard about it, and man, she jumped in the vehicle with them and went with them. She gets excited. She was worn out. She's like, I'm tired. But when she found out about Goodwill and thrift store, she woke up and went with them. Nothing wrong with that. Getting excited about a bargain, getting excited about grandkids. These grandparents, they're always showing pictures of grandkids, and they're excited. There's nothing wrong with that. But listen, we claim to have the best thing this side of heaven. And every now and then, we ought to get excited about serving God, about the fact that God has taken our low-down, rotten, filthy, ungodly sins and cast them in the sea of His forgetfulness as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against us anymore. That ought to get us excited every now and then. Praise the Lord. We ought to get thrilled about that. Oh, what a blessing. I tell you what, that's better than winning the Super Bowl. Amen. That's better than winning the World Series. Thank God. That's better than winning the lottery. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, it's good to be blessed. I tell you, I'm feeling pretty good right now. Thank God it's good to be saved. Amen. It said, but Noah, in spite of that wicked day and the fact people were living immoral and ungodly and marrying all the wives they wanted to and carrying on like that. You know, God made Adam and Eve. Brother Smart said God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. God made one man, Adam, and one woman, Eve. He didn't make 5 or 6 women for Adam. He made one woman for Adam. It's all he needed. That's all any man needs. That's plenty. But it was wicked. It was a wicked day. It was a wicked hour in which Noah lived. And yet here was a man that decided, I'm going with God, and I'm going to march to the beat of a different drum, and I'm going to still serve the great I Am, the great Jehovah God. In spite of the idolatry, in spite of the immorality, I'm going to continue to serve God. He made up his mind, and he was a preacher of righteousness, and he only had 8 on the ark, but thank God for the 8. Said, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We had a Bible school at our church the other day, and they sung that song. They said this wasn't spiritual, nobody would get anything out of it, but I did, because that's scriptural. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. What's that mean? He found favor with God. I don't know if you have an imagination or not, but I can see a holy God, and holy God, I tell you, he's a God of love, yes, but he is a holy God, and a holy God frowns on sin. And I want you to remember one thing today. If you don't remember anything else, you right this moment and the rest of your life, you are either living with the favor or the frown of God. You're either living with the smile of God or the frown of God. And a holy God looking over the balconies of heaven at that sinful, idolatrous, immoral world. And there had to be a frown across the brow of a holy God. But he saw a man down there named Noah. And he said, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And I believe with all of my heart, as God, a holy God, looked down, and there was a man having his devotions. There was a man being faithful. There was a man on his knees crying out to the God of heaven. I believe a smile came across the face of God. Amen. And God said, no, I want you to build an ark. And God gave him the details. How wide and how high, how long, and all the dimensions. Amen. And you know, folks, if we're going to be blessed, we need to be saved, but we need to be obedient. And I read in the last verse of that chapter, and thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. I mean, he didn't try to tell God how to build the ark. And when that one piece of gopher wood wasn't long enough, and he didn't ask God, will that be all right? No, he made it the dimensions of how God told him to. And thus did Noah according to all that the Lord commanded him. Amen. And the 10 commandments are not 10 suggestions. They're not 10 helpful hints. They're what they say they are. 10 commandments. And God didn't stutter when he said, thou shalt not. He said what he meant, and he meant what he said. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. May the Lord help us, folks. If we want to be blessed spiritually, we need to be obedient to God, to God's word. As we read the principles and precepts, and as we read God's word, we're not looking for loopholes. We're looking for, Lord, how can I draw closer? How can I learn more? How can I be more like you? Amen. Lord, how do you want me to live my life? And we'll be faithful to the principles and precepts of God's word. And the Bible says if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we'll have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And as we read his word, and he shows us things. Our hearts, not just our lips, but our heart says, yes, Lord. When your spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I will agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. You know, that skirt's not modest. Yes, Lord. You know, I don't really like you going there. It's not a godly place. Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. And God, we begin to read God's word. I never saw that before. And I found out if God doesn't turn the light on, it don't come on. Just because I preach it don't mean it's light. It ought to be, but I think. I don't know why people don't get it, but they don't until God turns the light on. And God has to be the one to do it. Amen. And I pray, God, that He does turn the light on and let some people see. Oh, folks, if we want to be blessed, we've got to walk in the light. We cannot live in sin. We cannot live in disobedience and be blessed in our souls. A lot of people are putting a show on. There are people living in sin, doing things they used not to do. And the Bible says, if I build again that which I once destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. And things God's Word condemns, things they would have never done in the past. I thought some of the old preachers there in Kentucky told about those folks back there when they got saved. He said they beat me in the back at the altar and they told me what I had to do to get saved. But some years went by and he said they were doing things they told me I couldn't do. And some of them testifying, I've never been more free. I want to tell you what, they're in trouble. They're in spiritual trouble. Amen. I heard about the preacher. He was preaching against the sin of adultery, and it's still a sin. And one fellow back in the congregation was getting upset about it, and it's not in the notes, which I guess I'm not really looking at the notes, but he was preaching against adultery, and one of the fellows back there in the church was getting angry. So after the service, he met the preacher back there in the foyer, and he told him, he said, this man told the preacher, he said, I was out in the cornfield praying and God told me it was all right. The preacher said, I got my theology out of the Bible, not out of a cornfield. Amen. There might have been a spirit told him that, but it wasn't God's spirit. Because God's spirit never contradicts God's word. If there's a spirit telling you something that's contrary to God's holy word, it is not the Holy Spirit. It is not the Spirit of God. Amen. I want to see God help us. And I'm not saying we have to swing from the chandeliers this week, but I'd like to see some people get blessed. Amen. I'd like to get blessed myself. We all act different. How many knew J.M. Sullivan? Anybody know J.M. Sullivan? He was a very unique man. And he had a unique way of shouting. But you know, he said, I've never seen my wife shout. But he said, sometimes I've looked at her and felt like shouting. I'm not really sure what he meant by that. Maybe he thought she was so beautiful he felt like shouting, or maybe he thought I don't know if she may, but there ought to be some sign of life. I remember a service there in Kentucky, and a couple of folks came down to the altar, and they had a cloud of darkness over them, and they had tattoos all over them, and he had the big double aughts in his ears, and came down there to the altar and prayed through, and when he got up, there was a glow on his countenance. The darkness was gone. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And we might not all shout, and we might not all run the aisles, but there ought to be some sign of blessing. There ought to be some sign of life, and it may simply be a glow. Amen. Some people cry. Amen. I love to see people cry and blessed in their soul. Amen. I don't listen to those country tear jerkers, but I like some of them church tear jerking songs. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. My kids are like, what do you want to listen to that song for? Talk about dying, going to heaven. Well, hey man, I want to go to heaven someday. Praise the Lord. And I love, and sometimes the devil beats people up for crying in public. And they try to get up and testify, and they can't hardly do anything but cry, and the devil just beats them up. And I've known some to ask God, Lord, would you help me to quit crying? And then they regretted that prayer. And they said, Lord, that's okay. If you want to bless me like that, you go ahead. I want your blessing. I've got more blessing out of watching people cry sometimes than hearing somebody go on and on and on in a long, drawn-out testimony. Praise the Lord. I can get blessed seeing other people blessed. Hallelujah. My wife's grandmother passed away a few years ago, and they asked my wife to share there at the funeral, and different ones shared. And my wife got up, and she's not really a public speaker, but she got up at her grandmother's funeral and began to. Her grandmother was a godly lady, a pastor's wife. She loved the Lord, and she was in camp meeting and taking people to camp meeting just a few days before she died. And she was a pastor's wife for years. She'd get blessed in church. And my wife got up there and God touched my wife and blessed her and helped her and honored her and honored the memory and the life of her godly grandmother before her cousins and family. And I sat back there and wept praising God that she was blessed. Praise the Lord. I'd like to see some young people get blessed this week. Amen. I'd like to see some gray heads get blessed this week. Praise the Lord. You know, they said there's three groups. There's the young, there's the middle age, and the you're looking good. I'd like to see some of those looking goods get blessed. And I don't know what middle age is, but I think I'm getting in the brush, brother. I'm going to head back up here. Amen. May the Lord help us to be blessed. Blessed people spend time with God. You can't go day after day, week after week without getting... And there are blessings in the Bible. I want to encourage you sometime, if you get time, to read Deuteronomy chapter 28. That's quite a chapter. The first part of it talks about blessings. The second part of it talks about curses. And one man was reading about the curses I read and said he got so angry he ripped that page out of his Bible. He ripped Deuteronomy 28 out of his Bible. But the first part, he must not have been living a life of obedience. Must not have been walking in the light. Amen? But there's some beatitudes in the Bible. I love Psalms 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Amen. There's a lot of ungodly counsel today. And if you listen to the wrong, listen, folks, our politicians are lying to us. Our educators are lying to us. Some of the textbooks are lying to us. And it's the counsel of the ungodly. And if you listen to that and take heed to that, you're not going to be blessed. You read God's word, that's good counsel. You'll get blessed doing that. And there's some things the blessed man does in his law, in God's law, doth he meditate day and night. He spends time with God. I read there in Genesis 6 about Noah, and it said he walked with God. And in chapter 5 of Genesis, there in verse 21, said Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah, and Enoch walked with God. Amen. He spent time. If we want to be blessed, we need to spend time with God. I was at Union Bible College, and Brother Henry Leeler was one of our professors. And Brother Leeler, he was an elderly gentleman. I'm sure he's gone on to heaven now. If not, he must be over 100. But he said he remembered when television first came out. And he said it became popular on the East Coast and on the West Coast before it became in the Midwest, in the Central States. And Brother Leeler was a young man in evangelistic work. And he said, you know, when TV came out, he said it kind of felt like it changed the atmosphere. And he said, the Bible says that Satan is the prince of the power of the air. I believe there's a lot of devils in the atmosphere today. And he said he could tell the difference when he's on the East Coast and West Coast and the folks that were watching television. He said it was harder to have revival. He said when he come to the Midwest and the Central States where they didn't have it, it was easier to pray, it was easier to preach, it was easier to testify, easier to sing. There was a more free, godly spirit. But he said, I watched it as it came within the country. And he said, it's a lot harder to pray now than it used to be. Seemed like the devil's going to fight us. He don't want us to be blessed. The devil doesn't want us to spend time with God. The devil doesn't want us to spend time in prayer and time in His Word. And there's some saints of God here. And you've gone through some extended times of not feeling the presence of God. And I have too. And I kept knocking on heaven's door. Young people, you may go through some, I mean, you need to be where you're supposed to be spiritually. Make sure you're living the way God wants you to live. But you may go through some seemingly spiritual droughts where you don't feel God so much. And it seems like you go to church and somebody got blessed and somebody talked about the great service and you didn't get a thing out of it. You keep holding on. you keep knocking on heaven's door and keep seeking God. And I've gone through extended periods, and I know others no doubt here have, and you wondered where God was, like Job. I looked on my left hand, he wasn't there, my right before me and behind me, but he knows the way that I take. Folks, keep knocking on heaven's door. There'll be times we try to spend time with God, and you try, and maybe you didn't feel God, you didn't feel like you got through, and you get discouraged and quit and say it didn't work. Don't quit. Don't give up. Keep knocking on heaven's door. Show back up the next time. Be faithful. Keep knocking. Keep praying. And God will help you if you're sincere and if you're serious to bore a hole through that brass that seems to be separating you from getting your prayers through. Amen. I want to say to us, and to all of us, and to the young and old alike, and the devil fights us all in different ways, and we're all tempted in different ways, but if you want to be blessed, you're going to have to guard your thought life. The blessed man guards his thought life. I was reading there in Genesis, and it said there in verse 5 of chapter 6 that we read to you, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. It's been said, and it's said well, that we cannot keep birds from flying over our heads, but we can keep the birds from building nests in our heads. And it's unbelievable the thoughts that God would even allow the devil to inject even in saved and sanctified people's minds. I've pastored godly widows that would say to me, taking them to church, "Brother King, you wouldn't believe the dream I had the other night." I mean, they've been serving God for years. And you wouldn't even think that such a thing could happen. And yet we cannot keep the birds from flying over our head. And young people and adults, your mind is your mind. It's not the devil's. And an idle mind is the devil's workshop. And if you're going to be blessed, when those birds fly over, you better shoo them away. And you know when it's the devil, and you know when you start entertaining it and when it's you thinking it. You better know that. Amen. You rebuke that in the name of the Lord. Start singing "Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see." Start singing or start quoting a scripture. I don't know how the devil works on young ladies, but I know how the devil works on young men. And the devil fought my thought life as a young man. And I read there in the Psalms, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word, O Lord." There's cleansing in the word. Young people, memorize scripture. Elderly folk, memorize scripture. Say, "I can't do it," one word at a time. Amen. Memorize Jesus wept if you had to. Memorize Scripture. It's a weapon that we can use. I can remember as we grow older, the devil still fights us. And there's some scriptures I've tried to get a hold of over the years and that have helped me. And I thought, "Lord, I've got to memorize that. That helps me." And I don't know if I can quote it now, but there's a verse in Corinthians chapter 10, and I think it's verses 4, 5, and 6. It says, "But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and casting down imaginations and every vain thought that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." God help me to memorize that. I remember the devil was plaguing my mind one day coming home from work, and I'd memorize that, and I started quoting that, and I quoted again, I quoted a little louder, and I quoted again. I'll tell you, I was having camp meeting in that old 84 Ford truck. Praise God. You want to be blessed, you better guard your thoughts. "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are lovely, these things there in Philippians chapter 4 we read, "Think on these types of things." Praise His holy name. Folks, we are either living with the favor or the frown of God. And I hope and pray you're living with the favor of God today. The blessed individual has joy in their life. I mean, they're not sitting around with a silly grin all the time, but they have joy in their life. Amen. And that's attractive. joy is attractive. That's one of the things that drew me to God. My grandparents, they were for real. I lived with them part of the time, and they were for real, and they had something I wanted. They had joy. It was attractive. The blessed person is a blessing to others. God doesn't bless us just so we can be selfish, say, I got a blessing. No, He wants us to share it. He wants to bless us like He did Abraham. And says there in Genesis 12 that the Lord said to Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house and to a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee. How many want to be blessed? I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Young people, you can be a blessing to your friends. Brothers and sisters, you can be a blessing to your younger brothers and younger sisters, and even the younger ones can be a blessing to the older brothers and older sisters. When I go to revival or camp meeting, when I went to Fordland, the pastor, I said, Lord, I want to be a blessing. I want to help those people. I said, Lord, if I can't, at least don't let me hurt them. I don't want to be a hindrance. I don't want to be a stumbling block. May the Lord bless us and make us a blessing. Let's all stand. Praise the Lord. You say, nobody gets blessed in my church anymore. Well, you can change that. You can be the one. You say, I'm just a teenager. You can still be the one. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were just kids. Joseph was just a kid. But they were the ones that got blessed and were a blessing to others. Praise the Lord. May I ask Sister Donna Bond to dismiss us.